Hi, good morning. If you join me in prayer. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for the reminder that you do indeed do great things, Lord. And I pray that we will be watching you do great things today and in the time to come. I pray you would speak through Greg and Chris this morning, that you would give us hearts to hear what you would like us to see, and that you would give us the will to accomplish what you have for us to do. In Jesus' name, amen.
Thanks, Edna. So these brothers are very dear brothers of ours, and many of you may not know them, and they're going to explain a little bit more about why they're here. I just want to set them up really well here. So today, they are here with us this weekend. They came Friday night to meet with the elders, and then yesterday they interviewed another probably about 8 or 10 people yesterday as well, and we are part of a network of 5 churches in the area. And Jack has done this for a couple, Greg's church actually, and a few others here in town, where 2 elders from other churches will come to one of the churches, and then they'll just bring an outside perspective and listen to what's going on at the church, listen to the Lord, and then offer some insights. And so we're very grateful for them spending 3 days of their weekend with us, both pastors at other churches. And so we're grateful for that. And I just want you to know how dear these brothers are to us. We've known these brothers for decades. And I would say without hesitation that we trust and love these brothers, and we hope that you will too. And now they're going to share their findings from the weekend. And this is, again, a little bit of a different service time today, kind of a family meeting, but it's really good, and I'm glad everybody's here to hear from these brothers. So Greg Berlau and Chris Martin.
Good deal. It's good to be here. I wanted to say that this always happens at my church, in that whenever you do something special, you have visitors, new people there, they're like, what's going on? And I'm just sitting thinking, well, yeah, sorry, this is not normal, but that's okay. I know that I believe God's in control and that he has you here for a reason. And I just want to say, too, this movement of churches from which we come from, you know, Chris's church, my church, this church all have a common history and so on, that for me, I found faith there. I came to Christ there. I was equipped. I've been equipped through this group of churches, and it has changed my life and the trajectory of my life. I remember figuring out, because I grew up going to church, Baptist church, and they preached the gospel of Jesus and why he came, that he came to die on the cross for us and for our sins, and I knew all the facts, but this group of churches and God's timing just made it clear to me that I had a decision to make about Jesus, that it wasn't just that Jesus did all these things and now, you know, because of what he did, just automatically I'm forgiven and going to heaven, but I had to respond to that offer. So I just wanted to mention that today, that this church has at its heart the vision of spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ. And one verse comes to mind, just speaking of my own testimony and this mission here that the church has, is John 1:12, which says, "But as many as received him," who received Christ, "to them he gives the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name." And so this group of churches that we're from helped me understand I needed to receive Christ, which sounds kind of strange because you're like, where is he? How do I receive him now? But by his Holy Spirit, it just means welcoming him and what he did into my life and believing it, right? And I had a chance to clarify that message to my dad, who actually died here this last week. He was 92. I could see in his eyes when I was explaining, he finally understood he didn't have to do anything, but what he just needed to do is to believe it. And so that's part of the mission of our churches. And so my job here this morning, before Chris comes up here, is just to kind of set a little bit of context in what is the Ohio Regional Church Network. I'll refer to it as ORCN. We don't kill bugs, but we do We do shout down and shut down false doctrine, I guess, maybe Titus 2:9. But we, yeah, so ORCN, Ohio Regional Church Network. As Ashley mentioned, New Song Community Church is networked with four other churches in the greater Columbus area. And the church where I serve as one of the pastors is on the west side of Columbus, called Darby Creek Church. The church where Pastor Chris serves is on Linworth Road there in the Worthington area. And then two other churches, Awaken Church down near campus, the OSU campus there, and then Grace Point Community Church up in the north there in Lewis Center. So those are our five churches in the Ohio Regional Church Network. Now, this particular network, ORCN, was birthed in 2023 from basically a collective efforts of these five churches, right, all sharing a common history. Each of the churches desired to maintain the relational network that we had in the former Great Commission churches, which dissolved. Okay, and so, but we had relationships already built. And I would say, at least from my viewpoint, that one of the distinctives of our network is it's relational. It's not just like a piece of paper that holds us together, but it is relational. And so we share this common history, and we want to intentionally work together to help each other out. And so each founding church greatly values working with the wider body of Christ. We realize that, you know, yes, each church is autonomous in terms of its local elders' leadership and so on, but there's a benefit, right, in uniting with other churches and working together for things that are greater than our own individual churches. And so let me share with you just simply what the mission of ORCN is, and that is developing healthy churches and pastors through a network of healthy relationships and strategic partnerships. So developing healthy churches and pastors, right? That's a key component there. And let me talk about developing healthy pastors or elders. And so to that end, and just to give you an example of how that's working itself out in our network is, once a month, we have a monthly lunch meeting downtown in Columbus where at least one elder from each of the churches gets together. We support and encourage one another. We share what's going on in our own lives. We also do some planning about some of the events and conferences and so on that our network would put on and host. And so we do some strategy in that way. And so, for example, recently we hosted an in-town retreat, if you will, for elders, and one of the pastors gave a message on how to prepare a sermon. Right, because some of our elders don't speak that often and haven't been exposed to some of those skills. And frankly, I benefited from it, and I speak nearly every week. I can always learn something. And so you know, encouraging and equipping our pastors, elders, and then, you know, Jack Stockdale and Paul Marshall also equipped us on responding to some false teaching. And so, you know, that's just some an example of the way that our network works to help healthy elders and pastors grow. And also our goal as a network is to support elders and their wives, because we know that, you know, it's not, yes, it is the elder who's eldering, but you know, being an elder or pastor's wife, there's a lot that goes with that. And so one of the things we do every couple of years is we'll host an elder couple's getaway, where basically the agenda is refreshment and encouragement. And so that's something that we do. And so, yes, we have these events, these conferences for the elders and for equipping and encouragement there, and also for to supporting the elders and their wives. Also, there's a financial commitment that is made by every church to this this regional network. It's 0.5% of the tithes typically is what's given to the network to help pay for these events that we do, and so on. And so the network exists to help develop healthy pastors, and we do that through building relationships and having some of these events. Now, Let's talk just briefly about the healthy churches component, developing healthy churches. And when it comes to our mission to developing healthy churches, our network decided we want to have our member churches commit to choose, as Ashley said, at least two advisors who are not part of their church, who could come and meet annually with some of their ministry leaders and others in the church to assess kind of how things are going, kind of take a look under the hood, do a little checkup. Not that we're experts here. We're practitioners. Sometimes I say, well, I can tell you what doesn't work. You know, I've tried many things or whatever, but you know, it's just, it's helpful to have some outside eyes, you know, sometimes when you're focused on itself. And so as a part of that network agreement, and this is new, our group of churches before didn't have this as a commitment, but the two advisors, at least two advisors that are not a part of the church, helping take a look and assess how things are going. And sometimes churches are going through something specific and they'll ask the advisors, hey, could you consider this particular aspect when you're assessing things? Like I know for my church, I'm, Lord willing, planning on retiring in about 4 years. So I know in a couple of years, I'm going to ask our advisors, okay, as we, and I have actually started this conversation, how can you help us with that transition, right? And so the advisors can play help with that as well. So Chris and I met with and interviewed a number of you to get your input on a number of questions that we asked ahead of time. And Chris and I then discussed the feedback that we got, and then spent a couple of hours with your elders afterwards from about 2 to 4 o'clock yesterday, just going over some observations that we made or some themes that we saw that were coming up and so on. Now, I want to mention, as advisors, Chris and I have no authority in this local church. The final authority, as it should be, is with the local elders. And so, you know, we made some observations and so on from this advisor weekend, and we're asking the elders to pray over those things and consider what if any of those things they would like to take action on and what that action might be. And so then we anticipate they would share those, what some of those things are, and maybe even, depending on what it is, ask for your help in implementation and so on. And so I hope this gives you all an idea of what the Ohio Regional Church Network is, what our purpose is, as well as why each of our churches has advisors, right? And so these advisors typically, depending on the situation, are committing to, you know, 2 to 3 years of going through this advisory process annually. And so at least the way I anticipated is, you know, we're not just here this weekend and then gone, see ya, hope it all works out or whatever. But it's more of like, no, we're going to be, you know, checking in and available to help and in whatever way we can all along the way. So, and in whatever way we can serve New Song, because we love New Song, and we're committed to you. So I'm going to hand it over to Chris here to talk about some of the things. So thanks, Chris.
Good morning. This is really a great church. And you have a great set of leaders. And I just want to echo what Greg said. You know, there's been a lot of shaking going on in our country in the last few years, even more so the last week or so. Now, the shaking is coming from different places. And one of the shaking has been the tremendous moral failures amongst pastors across the country that has been happening in the last decade at a troubling rate. And so part of the reason that we do this, part of the process, is that we really want to build healthy churches. We want to build healthy leaders and pastors. And healthy pastors and healthy leaders build healthy churches. And healthy churches means that There's relational, there's spiritual, there's a movement toward emotional wholeness and emotional connectedness. There's honesty, there's transparency, there's not deception, there's not hiding. Things don't go toxic, things don't go under the surface. Conversations happen. Problems get dealt with, issues get dealt with. And this is the journey towards becoming a healthy church. Now, none of us are there. None of us certainly are at that ideal place. But that is the journey that we're all on. And our five churches are committed to helping one another become healthy places with healthy leadership, healthy relationships. When that happens, things grow. We know that from in the biological world. When there is health biologically, you can't stop the growth. Growth is inevitable. And it is, the principle is as true spiritually. When a marriage, when a friendship, when a small group, when a ministry, when a church leadership, when a church is healthy, growth cannot be prevented. Healthy things grow. It is an inexorable principle and law that we see in the physical world, and it is reflective as well in the spiritual world. Now, that growth isn't all the time numerically. It may be numerical growth. It will certainly be growth in depth and qualitative growth. But certainly, there will be seasons when I think as well that growth will happen in terms of actual numbers. I want to just take a moment and really extol your leadership at this church. And also that being some of your core members, but particularly your pastors who have led. And you know, it has been a difficult season. So we had very honest conversations. We've been in conversation about that prior to this week. And it's been a difficult season for you. You've lost some people. That's been really painful. You've had some previous leaders who have made some choices that are distressing to you. It's been a difficult season. It truly has. Here's the thing. Your leaders did not run. Your leaders did not bail on you. In John chapter 10, that's the way Jesus clarifies true and good shepherds. False shepherds, when it gets really tough, they run and they bail. Your pastors and shepherds, and not just here recently, but over a long period of time, they have stayed in it when things have been difficult. They're not perfect. They're imperfect. They recognize that. But I think Greg and I can say this conclusively. They have been listening to the Holy Spirit. They have received your feedback. They have been transparent. They have not blamed others. And they, as a core, have stuck together. And that's really good and healthy. Again, when things go south, it's really easy to point the finger and blame. And they've had some tough conversations, indeed. And I think we'll need to have even some other additional, perhaps difficult conversations. But they have stuck together. And I think what that does is it engenders trust. And these are men that you can trust. I think I would say, as I can say coming in on their behalf, to remind all of you that leadership is really hard. Church leadership is really hard. I don't say this out of sympathy. It's kind of a factual thing that maybe you didn't know. And this is true some time ago, so I can't say today that it's still true. But did you know that the second most hazardous occupation, I think it was behind firemen, our first responders, the second highest risk of disability. So when insurance people are doing algorithms right, they figure out risk. The second highest vocation in terms of risk relative to disability are church pastors. It is a really difficult vocation, and it requires a cross-centered focus. In other words, our ministry is sort of based on the same that Jesus did. We pastors lay down their lives so as to lift others up in the same way that Christ did for us. It often means not defending yourself in some moments. It means deflecting credit to others. It means laying down time or energy or rights that others might insist on. Well, what your leaders in this challenging season, they are proving that they can learn and grow from the challenges of this past year. You know, Greg and I had a lot of recommendations, but honestly, they were simply reinforcing things that they had already written down based on their own reflections. Let me talk for a moment about just, you know, your call during this, a season like this. And I'm going to read from Colossians chapter 1 if you want to follow along with me, or just listen, whatever is okay. Colossians chapter 1, this is a writing of Paul, one of his epistles. Beginning in verse 9, he has this tremendous prayer. If you're ever looking for something to pray for the church, for yourself, for your children, for your leaders, here is a great prayer. Paul says this. He says, "For this reason, since the day we heard about you, we have not stopped praying for you." What does he pray? "We continually ask God to fill you with the knowledge of his will through all the wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives." God wants you to have knowledge of his will, and that does not happen through physical means, but through supernatural, spiritual means. It's wisdom and understanding that the Spirit gives. We don't figure it out through our own machinations, our own human resources. Why? Why? Verse 10, "So that you may live a life worthy of the Lord and please him in every way, bearing fruit in every good work, growing in the knowledge of God." This is God's will for each of you. Please him in every way. Bear fruit in everything you do, business, relationships, parenting, every area of life, bearing good fruit, growing in the knowledge of him, and being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. It is God's will for each of you to be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might. Now, to what end? Again, I know for me, for others, it's easy to think about the power of God. What does this power of God look like? Miracles? Salvations? Like a greater purity and deeper relationship with God? Healings? Some kind of spiritual or cultural revival or renewal? I think indeed the mighty power of God can be manifest in all of those ways. But look at what the slice is here. Another way the power of God is manifested. Being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so that you may have great endurance and patience. That's the power of God. I don't want to sign up for that. The power of God, sometimes, maybe we could even say many times, is manifested in our lives through us having great endurance and patient endurance. And, you know, to put this in a positive way, you know, that's a little bit of the season that you're in right now, you've been in as a church. It's been a season where patient endurance is needed. And if you are patiently enduring, it is helpful to realize that is the power of God working. Again, the fact that you've stuck together, the fact that you've not bailed, the fact that you're communicating, the fact that your pastors are receiving and listening to you, even when that's perhaps a stiff rebuke. They're listening, they're hearing, they're incorporating. That is the power of God. And we should see it as such. Now, what's the context here? Well, certainly patient endurance means that there's some kind of suffering going on. There's a loss going on. And sometimes we as believers, we don't recognize. I think that we sometimes think that suffering is only what Ashley referred to earlier, like 100 people in the Congo losing their life. Or suffering is somehow some kind of really severe persecution. And I never experienced that. That certainly is not the teaching of the New Testament. There's all kinds of ways that we suffer. Your church has gone through a period of suffering. There's been some loss. There's been some disorientation. Many of you, as we've heard stories, you're going through physical suffering. That is suffering. There's medical issues. There's concerns and issues and fears with children and grandchildren and various losses. Parents have been lost or friends have been lost. Those are all the kinds of suffering that when Paul uses that word of which patient endurance is needed, that he has in mind. He just doesn't have some like reserved thing for some martyr. Following Jesus in a difficult season proves that your love for him is not transactional, right? You're not following him just because he's an insurance agent who will prevent you from any kind of pain. You're not following him because he promises you the American dream. No, you're following him because you're learning to love him. That requires patient endurance. Learning to suffer well, not being reactive, not being embittered or enraged, but allowing your suffering to draw you into a deeper relationship with Jesus and others. I mentioned earlier that our country has been shaken by the tremendous frequency of moral failures amongst Christian pastors and leaders. I mean, it's also being shaken, I think, perhaps in a different way, by the events of this last week with the death of the murder, assassination of Charlie Kirk. Now, I don't know how many, you know, some knew a lot about him, others did not. But if you knew Charlie Kirk, and if you knew particularly that part of his message, you may not necessarily affirm his politics, but a part of his message was his faith. And in his campus interactions, he spoke often and frequently and profoundly about his deep faith in Jesus. Of course, that was to how many tens and tens and tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of college students all across the country. His memorial service here will begin in about 55 minutes. But if you're tied into him, and, you know, this is what I was trying to say, if you were tied into him and tied into his message, the attack on him feels like what? It feels like an attack on you, doesn't it? You feel it deeply. It feels to be an attack on you. You suffer in that. Well, again, here's a chance to show who we are as followers of Jesus. Followers of Jesus are not reactive. They are not embittered. They may feel great anger, but they respond with grace. They respond with love. They respond with justice and honesty. But they take that rage they might feel, they take the bitterness they might feel, and they have learned to entrust themselves to God. Let me show you a really great verse on this. It's in 1 Peter 2. See, this is the pattern. This is the pattern that Jesus walked. This is the pattern your leaders are walking in. This is the pattern for every leader, but for every Christian that we're called to. Look at what Peter says, 1 Peter 2:21. To this you were called because Christ suffered for you, leaving you an example that you should follow in his steps. Verse 23, when they hurled their insults at him, perhaps some of you have felt insulted this week because of that, what happened to him. And even the ongoing things that are ascribed to him. When they heard the insults at Christ, he did not retaliate. See, this is how we suffer differently. We suffer with patient endurance. This is, and it takes what? It takes all of the glorious might and the power of God to suffer well. When he suffered, he made no threats. Instead, he entrusted himself to the one who judges justly. This is the power of God, to suffer well, to entrust ourselves to one who judges justly. And as believers, again, if you have been connected to Charlie Kirk, we have an example to show to the world the way in which patient endurance and Christian suffering looks like. And I believe, friends, it can be a profound and powerful testimony when taken in the aggregate. Again, when we look at it in an aggregate way, Christians can tell the world we suffer differently. Let me say that one thing patient endurance is not. Patient endurance, that phrase you might think, oh gosh, sign me up for that. That just sounds like a bunch of drudgery every day, like with this 1,000-pound weight on my back. I'm just going to suffer patiently. I'm just going to, it's just drudgery. Let's read on to see what Paul says. Back to Colossians 1. He says, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, so you may have great endurance and patience, and giving joyful thanks to the Father, who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of his holy people and in the kingdom of light. Why? Because he has rescued you, like Greg shared in his story, he has rescued you from the dominion of darkness and brought you into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. This is not drudgery that we're being called to. Who is the most joyful person ever, joyful man to ever live on the face of the earth? It was Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, though a man of sorrows, was still the most joyful man. How do we know that? Because he was filled with the Spirit of God. As a human being, he was filled with the Spirit of God. And what is the fruit of the Spirit? Top three: love, joy, peace. Jesus went around filled with the Spirit. He was a man of joy. So it's in our human thinking if we equate patient endurance with drudgery. If we just say, well, we just got to suffer along and not make any waves and just sort of patiently endure. That's not the picture Paul's drawing. Patient endurance includes a joyful giving thanks to the Father, who we know we have assurance of, we have certainty of, and this is the ministry of the Spirit. The ministry of the Spirit gives us assurance that we are sons and daughters of God, and nothing can change that. And that is the source of joy that runs like an ever-flowing stream that no circumstance can ever change, however difficult it gets. There is an ever-flowing stream that runs and will not run dry. That is the joy of the Holy Spirit. That is the water Jesus referred to in John chapter 4, of whom he said, whoever drinks this water will never thirst again. And so our patient endurance does not mean it cancels joy. Rather, it gives us, right, it gives us the opportunity to reflect on what brings true joy. A lot of times suffering helps us recognize the things that don't really bring us joy. Suffering helps reorient us to the salvation that we have that is casts a shadow over our entire lives. So one last verse I want to share. So I think all that to say is that, New Song, you're on a call right now. You've been on a call here to patiently endure. Your pastors are enduring well. Your core is enduring well. You're going to get through this, and you're going to be better, and you're going to have a new chapter in your story. The book is already a rich book, the story of New Song. The book of New Song is a rich book. It's got some difficult chapters in it. I have been connected, at least from a distance, but awareness of New Song's story from the very start. And so it's got some difficult chapters, some real lows, like any church. But it has had some lows. God has done some discipline and some pruning and some changing, again, like Greg's church, like my church, like any church. And then there is a new season of fruit, a new season of harvest, a new season of growth when that pruning season is done. And the pruning doesn't last forever. Galatians 6:9. These say new song, let us not become weary in doing good. Don't become weary in doing good, for at the proper time, you will reap a harvest if you do not give up. You'll reap a harvest if you do not give up. Amen? Amen. Why don't you stand? I think you'll probably stand. Edna is going to have a closing prayer for us. Thank you. While she comes up, thank you for speaking on behalf of Greg. Thank you for letting us come and be a part of your journey in a really intimate way.
Well, please join me in prayer again. Lord, thank you for speaking to us through your word this morning. And I pray that you, again, would do great things today. I pray for the memorial service later today for Charlie Kirk, that the gospel would be preached and that people would be saved as a result of that, Lord. And I pray that you also would give us opportunity to share the hope that is in us. And I just pray that you would give us strength. In Jesus' name, amen.
So as our benediction, I just want to reread this passage that Chris shared with us. Go home and read Colossians 1 over and over. Wow. It's just one of the best passages. So from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will and all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, being strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy. You are dismissed.